Welcome to another deep dive. We're going to be looking at the Book of Ruth today. You guys send in some really cool stuff about it. I can't wait to see what we discover about this book together. You know, we're going to be focusing on these concepts of emptiness and fullness and how those ideas appear in the lives of these characters. And just to give you a little appetizer, the main character, Ruth, isn't even an Israelite. So I'm already thinking, wow, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah. The Book of Ruth is set during this time of famine in ancient Israel. And, it's actually placed right after the Book of Judges, which, if you remember, that book really talks about this time of chaos and moral decline. So the Book of Ruth kind of serves as like this powerful reminder that God is faithful, even when things are really tough.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, okay, let's jump right into it. So the first chapter introduces us to this family. They're going through some really hard times.
Totally. Yeah. We meet Naomi, her husband, and their two sons. And because there's this really bad famine, they have to leave Bethlehem. They go to Moab to try and find a place to live. But tragedy strikes. Naomi loses her husband, and then she loses both of her sons, and she's totally alone.
Wow. That's really hard. It's like such a powerful picture of just loss and grief. I mean, we see how much this affects Naomi, right? She even changes her name to Mara, which means bitter.
Right, exactly. It shows just how raw her emotions are. But, you know, amidst all this despair, her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, are incredibly loyal. At first, they refuse to leave her side. And they're both, you know, Moabite women.
Yeah, okay. This is where it gets really interesting to me. So Orpah eventually goes back to her own people.
Mm-hmm.
But Ruth, she makes this incredibly moving vow to stay with Naomi. I mean, what are your thoughts on this moment? It seems really, really important.
Oh, totally. It's a huge turning point. I mean, so when Ruth tells Naomi that she's staying, that she's going to follow her wherever she goes, it's one of the most powerful parts of the whole book. You know, she says she's going to make Naomi's people her people. And she even says that she's embracing Naomi's God.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It makes you think about how much the people we're close to can really change what we believe,
yeah.
You know, like how they shape our values. And it's especially powerful that Ruth, who's a foreigner, chooses to follow the God of Israel.
Yeah. And it reminds me of the story of Rahab. You know, she wasn't an Israelite either, but she recognized the God of Israel.
Yeah.
And she becomes part of Jesus's family line.
That's right. And there's this really beautiful imagery in the text where it talks about Ruth seeking refuge under the wings of God. Mm-hmm. Just, we think about divine protection.
Yeah. You know,
and that God cares for people, even if they feel like outsiders.
Yeah, definitely. That idea of finding shelter under God's wings is something that comes up a lot in the Bible. It's like God is always there, especially when we're going through rough times.
Okay, so Naomi and Ruth, they finally go back to Bethlehem. And that's where they meet Boaz. It's during the barley harvest.
Yeah. And Boaz, his name actually means in him is strength, which is really interesting when you think about what he does. He's a pretty wealthy guy, owns a lot of land. And it turns out he's related to Naomi's husband. He sees Ruth gleaning in his field and he's impressed by her, you know? And what's really cool is that Boaz does a lot more for Ruth than he has to. He's really generous.
Yeah, for sure. It's more than just being nice. Like, we have to remember, back then in Israel, they had this custom called gleaning. Basically, if you owned land, you had to leave some grain behind after you harvested. It was for the poor people, you know, widows too. That way, everyone could get food, even if they were struggling. But Boaz, he tells his workers to leave extra grain, specifically for Ruth. I mean, he really cares about her, right?
Totally. It shows how much this custom mattered to them. Gleaning wasn't just about making sure people didn't starve. It showed that they believed that God cared about the people who were struggling and that those who had a lot had to share. So, you know, Boaz being so generous to Ruth, it was like he was living out that belief.
It's interesting. The story is starting to bring together all these different things, like faith and helping those in need, and maybe even a little bit of romance.
It really is. And I think it shows how God can use ordinary people and everyday stuff to do what he wants. It's like a tapestry, you know?
Right.
The story unfolds slowly, and it ends up being more beautiful and complex than you might think at first.
Right. Okay, so then in chapter 3, Naomi tells Ruth to go to Boaz. And she's supposed to appeal to his sense of duty as a kinsman redeemer. I always wonder about this part. It seems like there are some cultural things going on that I don't totally get.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. This is where the story gets into some of the more complicated traditions they had in ancient Israel. Naomi tells Ruth to uncover Boaz's feet while he's sleeping. It's a gesture that means a lot of different things, depending on how you look at it. But the main thing to understand is that this idea of a kinsman redeemer, a galal, It was a really important part of their society.
So Agalao was like, they had to protect family members who were vulnerable. They might have to buy back property that had been lost, or even marry the widow of a relative who died to keep the family going.
Exactly. That's it. And in this case, Naomi thinks Boaz could be the one to redeem her land and also take care of Ruth. But of course, that makes things complicated, right?
So I bet. It sounds like there's going to be some drama. So in chapter 4, they go to the city gate. That's where Boaz tries to figure this whole thing out, perniacally. What happens next? Yeah.
Well, it's a pretty tense scene. There's another relative there, someone who's actually closer related to Naomi. Boaz tells him he has the right to buy back Naomi's land. And this other relative, at first he seems interested, but there's a catch, of course.
Uh-huh. There's always a catch. Okay, I want to know what it is.
So Boaz tells him that buying the land also means marrying Ruth, who's a Moabite widow. And that's where this relative starts hesitating. You know, he's worried that marrying a foreigner like Ruth could mess up his inheritance or make people think less of him.
Yeah, it just shows you how much they were prejudiced against foreigners back then.
Yeah, absolutely. This whole situation really highlights how complicated things were, like not just with owning land, but also with how society worked and all the prejudices people had. So in the end, this other relative decides to back out. And Boaz, he has a big decision to make.
Wow. Yeah. So does he decide to be the redeemer? I mean, it seems like a lot to take on.
He does. The other guy backed out, so Boaz steps up. He agrees to buy back the land, and he'll marry Ruth. It's a really brave thing to do.
That must have been such a relief for Naomi and Ruth. And to make it official, they do this whole thing with exchanging sandals, right? Why do they do that? What's the point?
Yeah, so that exchange is how they showed they were transferring property and authority. It's funny, because in Deuteronomy, there's this custom. It's kind of harsh. If a brother-in-law doesn't want to marry his dead brother's widow, they basically humiliate him in public, and they take his sandal off as, like, a sign of dishonor.
Wow. That's really different from what we see happening in Ruth.
Totally. Here, giving the sandal is, like, a gesture of trust and honor. It's not about shame at all. And it shows that Boaz is a really good guy. He really wants to take care of both Naomi and Ruth.
It really is heartwarming to see this, you know, awful situation turn into something so hopeful. It makes you think about how powerful compassion can be and how much one person's actions can really change things for the better.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how, even though the Book of Ruth doesn't like come right out and say what God is doing, you can see his presence in everything that happens. Boaz is a man of integrity. Ruth is so loyal. And Naomi is so resilient. It all feels like God is orchestrating things behind the scenes.
It's true. It's like these normal people and the choices they make are being guided by something bigger than themselves. And it creates this story that has so much meaning. You know, what's really cool is that the book doesn't end with the marriage. It goes even further.
Right. The most exciting part is when Boaz and Ruth have a son. His name is Obed. And that's where the Book of Ruth connects to a much bigger story. Obed becomes King David's grandfather.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like this little personal story suddenly explodes outward, has these huge historical consequences.
I know, right? Ruth, this Moabite woman, decided to follow Naomi and embrace the God of Israel. And now she's a part of the family line of the most famous king in Israel's history.
It makes you rethink who's a part of God's story. Like, maybe it's not who we expect.
Absolutely. The Book of Ruth shows us that God's plans often work out in ways we don't see coming. And he can use anyone. It doesn't matter where they come from or what their social status is.
And it makes me think about legacy, you know?
Yeah.
We usually focus on what people achieve individually, but the Book of Ruth shows how connected our lives really are. Like, the decisions we make today can have effects that go way beyond our own lifetime.
That's such a good point. It makes you realize that we need to live our lives with purpose, knowing that our actions, even the little ones, are part of something much bigger. And it's worth noting that the Book of Ruth doesn't pretend that life is easy. It shows famine, death, injustice, and prejudice. It's all there in the story.
Yeah, it doesn't sugarcoat anything. It's a real picture of the world. But even with all those hard things, there's this underlying sense of hope that runs through the whole book.
Definitely. And that's a powerful message, especially now. The Book of Ruth tells us that even when things are really tough and uncertain, we can still choose to have hope. It tells us to look for the good things, even when it's dark, and to trust that God is working even when we don't see it.
It's like, you know, when you look back in your life and you see how the bad times actually helped you grow and change, and how they led to new opportunities and a deeper understanding of yourself and your faith.
Exactly. The Book of Ruth is a beautiful example of how God can redeem us. It's a story about how things can be restored, not just for Naomi and Ruth, but for a whole family, a community, and ultimately a nation.
So as we're thinking about all the meaning in Ruth's story, I'd love to hear your thoughts on how her experience connects to these ideas of emptiness and fullness, you know, those themes we talked about.
Oh, that's a great question. So when we first meet Naomi, she's experiencing this profound emptiness. She's lost her husband, her sons, her home. She's even lost her sense of who she is. And that name change to Mara, it shows just how bitter and hopeless she feels. But then things start to change.
It's almost like watching a field that's been dried up, slowly coming back to life.
Wow, that's a perfect way to put it. Because of Ruth's unwavering loyalty and Boaz's compassion and the birth of Obed, that emptiness is slowly replaced with fullness. Naomi's bitterness turns into joy. Her loneliness becomes companionship. And her despair, well, it turns into hope.
Yeah, it shows us that even when we feel drained and lost, there's always a chance for renewal. It might not happen right away, and it might not look how we expect. But the Book of Ruth shows us that hope never really dies.
Right. And the amazing thing is, this change isn't just for Naomi. It affects her family, her community, and even people who come after her.
Yeah. Obed becoming King David's grandfather, that shows how one thing leads to another. It reminds us that our lives are interconnected, and that the choices we make can have consequences for a long, long time.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that makes the Book of Ruth so powerful, even today. It speaks to this deep desire we all have. A desire for connection, a sense of belonging, and a purpose that's bigger than ourselves.
It reminds us that we're not alone in this world. We're all part of a bigger story. And this story, like the Book of Ruth, is ultimately about redemption and hope.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's a story that challenges us. It asks us to be agents of redemption in our own lives, to show compassion and generosity to others, and to build a legacy that will last beyond our own time.
You know, it's amazing how a story that's so old can still feel so relevant to us today. The Book of Ruth, it really gets into those big ideas like loss and loyalty and redemption in a way that really connects with what it means to be human, I think.
Absolutely. And it doesn't try to pretend that life is simple. You know, it shows how the characters deal with real stuff like social injustice, prejudice, economic hardship, all that's in there.
Yeah. It never loses sight of hope. And the idea that things can change. Ruth's journey is it's really inspiring. I mean, she leaves behind everything she knows to follow Naomi, and she doesn't even know what's going to happen. What do you think made her take that kind of risk, that leap of faith?
It's a good question. And people have been trying to figure it out for a long time. Some might say it was her sense of duty to Naomi, her loyalty, which is definitely a big part of it. But I think there's something more to it, something deeper. I think Ruth is drawn to the God of Israel even before she really understands who he is.
Yeah, it's like she's looking for something bigger.
Yeah.
A sense of belonging, you know, a real purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And by choosing Naomi, she's also choosing to follow Naomi's God.
Right, exactly. And that decision takes her to a life she never could have imagined. She finds love and acceptance in a completely new place. She becomes part of the family line that leads to King David. And she ends up playing a role in God's plan to redeem all of humanity. It's amazing.
Yeah, it just goes to show that sometimes the paths we don't expect end up leading to the greatest blessings. I think the Book of Ruth is encouraging us to be open to new possibilities, to take a chance on faith, and to trust that God can use whatever we're going through, even when it's tough or we don't know what's coming next.
That's such an important message from this story. It's like it's telling us to be brave and resilient, to hold on to hope even when things are hard, and to believe that God can bring something beautiful and meaningful out of even the most broken situations.
So as we finish up our deep dive into the Book of Ruth, I keep thinking about this this question. What can we take away from Ruth's story? Like, what can we learn from her and apply to our own lives today?
It's a great question. And I honestly think it's one that everyone has to figure out for themselves. But if I had to suggest something, I'd say it's about being radically open. Ruth was willing to embrace the unknown, to step outside of her comfort zone, and to trust in a God who was, at first, a stranger to her. That's such a powerful example for us.
Yeah, it makes me think about the times when I hold myself back, you know, when I'm afraid or unsure. Ruth's story, it's like an invitation to let go of all that, to just to go on an adventure of faith.
Right.
And see where God might lead us.
And to remember that even in the middle of hard times, there's always a chance for growth, for transformation, for unexpected good things to happen. Just like Ruth went from emptiness to fullness, our lives can also be marked by redemption and renewal.
Well, this has been such a great conversation. It's given me a lot to think about. Thank you so much for joining me on this deep dive into the Book of Ruth. I hope it's made you want to explore this story even more and to see how it can still speak to us today.
It was my pleasure. And just remember, there's always more to discover in the Bible, more to learn, more to experience as we keep on exploring faith and all the beauty of God's Word.